Can you imagine the amount of oils he's got? Like, most people have a liquor bar. That guy's got an oil bar.
I'm surprised. Yeah. I'm surprised he's not physically stuck to another human being right now with all the piercings.
Warning. The political trade features probabilities and perspectives about politicians, political parties, political outcomes, and political wagering. The political trade is rated NSFP, not safe for partisans.
Well, welcome back to The Political Trade, the podcast for people with a passion for politics, probability, and profits. I'm Jeff Joseph, editorial director of Luckbox Magazine, hosting the podcast where conservatives and liberals, Republicans and Democrats, partisans and wingnuts all come together to make money betting on politics by trading in the prediction markets at predictit.org, the stock market for politics that trades 24/7. We're excited about today's episode. For the first time, we'll be joined by more than one guest based in Austin, Texas. They're the most entertaining news anchors that we know of, and they are experienced predicted traders. They're the guys from Hard Factor, Barstool Sports Daily News Podcast. Up ahead, Wes Shepard, Mark Borgi, and the other Will Smith will talk to us about the news of the day, their experiences on Predictit, and then each will share their favorite trade in the prediction markets today toward the end of the broadcast. So to get the most out of this podcast, you should open up predictit.org, click on the markets tab, which is top left, follow along, and leave your political ideologies at the door. As always, I'm joined by Mike Reddy. Mike is an editor at Luckbox Magazine, a new prediction market trader, and the producer of The Political Trade. Mike, are you ready for Hard Factor?
I'm really excited for this episode. We spoke with the guys from Hard Factor last month for a profile we're running in the next issue of Luckbox Magazine, and they were a lot of fun. So I'm sure we'll get into what this is a little later, but I recently bought one of their Lockdown and Turn Up t-shirts. I've been sort of living by that mantra, and really looking forward to having him on.
I am too. I love listening to their show. I'm a regular listener of Hard Factor. It's a daily Barstool Sports news show. It runs Monday through Friday. The show has racked up over a million downloads a quarter. Having them on The Political Trade is a real gift for us because they were so much fun at our call last week, which will be part of the interview that will appear in the next Luckbox magazine. They're all active prediction market traders. And let's bring the guys on. We have Wes, Mark, and Will. Welcome to the show.
How's it going? Thanks for having us.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Did you guys happen to record that call in case this goes bad? You can just play that.
We thought about it for a while, and thanks for the warning. That's our ace in the hole. Hey, listen, first of all, congratulations. You guys recently hit your 400th episode, right?
That's correct, yeah.
How'd you celebrate that?
By recording episode number 401. So.
Yeah, a lot of quarantine drinking, Jeff.
Yeah, I bet. That's an easy thing to do. Now, I'm sure most of our listeners are familiar because you guys do cover the prediction markets in every single episode, but you cover a lot more than that. How can you describe the show for those who haven't heard it before?
Well, it's a rundown of the headlines that you need to know. Basically something that's great to pop on, you know, when you get up in the morning, taking a shower, just like, you know, 30 minutes. We've been doing longer episodes because we're doing the Lockdown Turn Up, trying to give the fans a little more content. They're in quarantine, but normally it's about half an hour. We take the most important headlines, run them down for you. We try to play both sides of we don't favor either side. So, you know, bipartisan, and, we throw some humor in there so we don't take ourselves too seriously. And we joke and rip on everyone equally. So, but it's a great way to stay informed
about stuff. I mean, the news in general is bad, I'd say, you know, at least like in recent years. And it seems like people try to sensationalize it. So we try to at least laugh at it each morning.
Yeah, it's certainly easy to make fun of the news. Will, our host, keeps us a little bit level-headed. Otherwise, I think we would do kind of all goofy stories. So Will does a good job of making sure we cover the big stories.
Yeah,
as well.
And I'm not in Austin, Texas. I'm in Reno, Nevada. And I try to. I'm the one who, oddly enough, out here where there's no laws and most focused on the Capitol Hill where they have laws.
He's like, don't you think we should cover impeachment? We're like, yeah, but the squirrel that fucked a raccoon.
Yeah.
Well, you got a lot to work with today. There's no question about that. Let's start by saying, and we're a little jealous here, but we feel good about where we are. But by far, you guys have the best the best opening song in podcast world. That's your opening theme song, you know, Dire Straits, Money for Nothing, from the 1985 album Brother in Arms. He won a Grammy for this performance.
Excellent song. Excellent song. Mark was the one who chose this one.
That's awesome. That was Mark's pick. Mark, how'd you pick the song?
Well, I don't always get things right. I picked A Good Wife based on solely this quarantine happiness alone. Seems like I did a good job with my choice of wife and with that song. So there's a few things I can hold my hat to. I just spent like basically 10 hours on a vodka and marijuana binge looking for the best songs for the show, and when I hit Money for Nothing, there was really no reason to continue the search.
You did struck gold. You know, we feel we have a pretty strong song as well. It's not quite as good as yours because that's an awesome song, but Mike, play a little bit of our song as well. So that song, Politicians in My Eyes, it's such an interesting story. This is actually from a band called Death. They were actually like the America's first punk band. There were three brothers who were also brothers out of Detroit back in the early 70s. They grew up in a musical family. They all played instruments, and they started a punk band called the Rock Fire Funk Express. But then in their teens, they went to a Who concert, and that changed everything, and they wanted to get into rock and roll music. So they started writing some rock songs. They wrote seven songs, and being out of Detroit, they got Clive Davis to fund a recording session, and he dug their music. He was into it. And this was one of the songs, Politicians in My Eyes. But Clive Davis came back to him and said, you know, if I'm going to do anything with you commercially, you really got to change your name. You can't be a band called Death. And they're like, and they made the big decision, think about this, to say, no, Clive, we're sticking with Death. So they said no to Clive Davis. They cut 500 of this song. That's it. That was the initial run. And the best punk band that no one's ever heard of, the band called Death.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's why we've never heard of them, is they didn't listen to them.
Well, I'm glad you introduced them to us, because now I can listen to them during, you know, quarantine. That's a new piece of information.
What we could use, Will, is your opening yell over our opening song. All right. So why don't you kick us off with your opening yell and we'll get going.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Are you going to give me the song again and I'll scream over that? Or okay. All right.
Oh, fuck, I wish I could do that.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. All right.
Incredible.
Well, that's an official opening. All right. So welcome, everybody, to the Political Trade. That's going to be hard to top. But we really had you guys on because not only are you an awesome podcast and one of the best ones to listen to on a daily basis, but you guys are really into prediction market trading, and you're active at it. And you guys have achieved some status. You're making money doing it. So we wanted to, you know, as we do always on the show, we have active expert traders on that are sharing some of their wisdom and sharing some of their trading tactics. So we wanted to talk about the markets with you as well. You know, let's start with, well, first of all, do you consider yourselves traders or gamblers? How do you look at this?
Gambling for me, definitely a gambler.
Yeah, that's a great question. What do you think, Will?
For me as well. I'm not sure what Mark's answer will probably be the most interesting on this, but I'm with Wes. I would still view it as like sort of making bets, just like I would on sports. So gambling.
And were you active sports bettors before this or no?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And what attracts you to this relative to betting in sports?
I like that you can get in and out and you're not locked into stuff. That's probably my favorite thing about it.
The legality, Jeff. And I don't really like getting my checks from Eastern Europe.
Did you say your checks or your chicks?
Both. Well, the chicks information you're up. No, that's fine. That's fine.
All right. Well, let's get down some of the serious markets of the day. We'll start with Cuomo because I know it's someone you talk about on a regular basis. So let's settle it once and for all. I know it's the subject of one of your recent episodes. Does New York Governor Andrew Cuomo have nipple rings?
Yes.
Is that a predicted market?
If you could bet on the yes, I think that that would be at like, you know, 95 cents, I'd say.
Yeah.
It wasn't clear how you I listened to that episode and it wasn't clear how you resolved this.
Well, I guess only Andrew knows for sure. But based on the photo evidence, I would say the market would be. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you'd have to wait till he came out and made a statement on it for it to resolve and take his word at face value. But
you would have a lot of stock. Yeah. But you would never get your payout. So, yeah
you got to be at a you got to go to a pool party where he's at to get the real answer.
Well, he was wearing that white polo shirt, the short sleeve white polo shirt. And that's really what kind of showed it off. Like when he's wearing like a suit, it's not very evident. But unless he had like just run a marathon, which I don't think he did during social distancing, and had some sort of like metal band-aids on his nipples, I think that they're piercings.
Well, he is the king of earned media right now. There's no question about it. Mike, can you play a clip from his recent press conference?
I was in these parks. You would not know that anything was going on. This is just a mistake. It's a mistake. It's insensitive. It's arrogant, it's self-destructive, it's disrespectful to other people, and it has to stop, and it has to stop now.
So why are we so in love with this guy?
I don't know. That's the first time I've listened to his voice without actually looking at him, and it's a very different experience. I don't know what that means, but it's just different.
You're not impressed, you're saying.
I'm not very impressed with him without seeing him.
I think he's getting the points just because he's at the epicenter, right? I mean, like, you know, people are trying to say this is a wartime moment. I don't buy into that, but you know, people who are at the epicenter of the problem are going to get a lot of media, you know, media points.
Yeah, but has he done a great job? I don't really get the infatuation. I don't know why he's trading number three for vice presidential candidate.
He's working hard. He's working hard today. That's bullshit.
For Democratic nominee, I don't know why he's at like 7 cents or whatever.
No, he's at fucking eight now. I agree with you, Mark. I think he's doing what pretty much everyone in that situation would do that they're being told to do. I mean, it's not like he's like.
Scolding people in a press conference when it's already too late isn't really doing anything. I don't understand. Like New York was like way behind California. He's the governor. I think he has some power there. Like he didn't do shit until March. So I don't know why he's getting so much credit because New York is fucked.
Yeah, the numbers out of New York don't look very good. What about New Orleans? I mean, I noticed you tried to pass the buck onto the administration, but going ahead with Mardi Gras, that can't be a good idea.
Yeah, that was a bad call, huh? Mardi Gras. A lot of people who listened to our show were actually saying that they were there for Mardi Gras, and like you know, just they all kind of knew that that was you know in hindsight a horrible idea. Because that was the weekend that probably had the biggest impact on the spread, you know, right before the lockdown. So,
well, with Cuomo getting back to him and the predicted markets, you think there's any legs there either in the, at least as a trade in the VP side or the presidential side? Think there's any upside
no,
here?
No, I don't think anyone from New York is going to get a raise or a higher position anytime soon.
Well, he's been on record saying that he doesn't want the vice president nomination recently, I'm pretty sure.
Well, and with the VP, Biden's already said no, a woman.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead, Wes. Yeah.
And he doesn't. And he's also said that he doesn't think he's the best candidate for president on record. So, you know, I think it's just a bump. Mainly caused by the amount of fucking TV he has now. That's it.
If he reveals the nipple rings live on a press conference, I'll walk it back.
Yeah, now you could. Yeah, you could use that as a little bit of a bump, but I don't know.
Then
I'll
have your vote.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'll stop talking shit about him.
You'll know he's better at sex than you, at least. And
yeah, for sure.
That's a big up.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Missionary is not in his repertoire.
No. Can you imagine the amount of oils he's got? Like, most people have a liquor bar. That guy's got an oil bar.
I'm surprised. Yeah. I'm surprised he's not physically stuck to another human being right now with all the piercings. Right. Yeah.
But an olive oil bar, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever works. Somber. Whatever gets it sliding around. You know. I mean, I don't think he discriminates.
So how are you guys handling the quarantine? Speaking of sliding around, what are you doing?
Oh man, just trying not to go insane like everybody else. I think luckily for us, or for me, I'm out here by myself in Reno, so I've been living quarantine life for a long time, so it hasn't really been much of an adjustment for me. But Mark and Wes, what are you guys doing?
Go for it, Wes.
Well, I haven't drank alcohol in over 4 months now, I think, and I picked a real bad time to stop drinking because I would really love a nice cold Beck's right about now, or a nice whiskey. Yeah. But I have gone kind of insane. I'm actually painting the family room in my rental house. So that is pretty crazy. But anything to stay busy and you know, keep my mind, you know, from going crazy, just taking some hikes here and there. But, it hasn't been great. I miss Costco.
How'd the lockdown turn up video go? How'd you guys do on the audience with that?
Oh my God. Well, a lot of people tuned in. I think, at certain points, it was like 3,000 live, something like that. And like, it was 15,000 views by the time it got kicked off. But that one particular lockdown turn up video was supposed to be a power hour where you take a shot of beer every minute for an hour. And we were just going to like shoot the shit with some barstool personalities that were nice enough to join us and stuff. And we had such a good time that it turned into a 3-hour and 31-minute event where we just kept drinking and getting progressively drunker.
The guest list was crazy, too.
I tuned into the show, and I can say, Jeff, that by the end of it, there were almost no shirts being worn. So it was something you're going to want to check out.
And the one shirt that was worn was a fake nipple shirt.
Right, by a lady.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of T-shirts, you guys do have a $28 T-shirt that's available, the Lockdown Turn-Up T-shirts. The proceeds go to Meals on Wheels. And their COVID-19 response fund. So that's a really cool project you guys are doing.
Yeah, thanks. We got involved. We wanted to give to their response fund and then found out that unfortunately they're not considered an essential industry in a lot of places right now. So actually what that's going to is to helping them getting assigned as essential, basically.
Awesome. So have you found yourself doing more trading during lockdown, during quarantine? More gambling, I'm predicted.
The market frequency has kind of slowed down a little bit, but considering all the elections that are getting delayed. But for sure, trying to find some good ones.
What about the Fauci trade? The predicted market is, will Fauci be director of the National Institute of by May 1st, I think. Right?
I like that market.
Yeah, it's trading at 92 cents right now for yes.
The time to buy yes that he would be on May 1st was back a couple weeks ago when Mark was saying that there was speculation in the media that there was trouble in paradise. But Fauci has been working with Birx and Redfield for a long time, and it would surprise me that he would quit this. You know,
well, he won't quit. It's not quitting.
It's
getting fired or like dying of COVID-19.
It seems like Trump would have to like remove that entire contingent.
Right.
You know, yeah. I doubt he would.
Fauci's been around for several presidencies, hasn't he? He's been
And that's 35 years in that role.
Right. Yeah. He's worked with the colleagues, that he's working with on the pandemic response for a long time as well. So, it's extremely unlikely that Fauci's removed.
Trump has been taking it very seriously recently. I don't think he would stir the pot like that. Now, like you said, well, like we were talking about earlier, a couple of weeks ago, maybe.
Well, the time was to buy, like all predicted markets, the time to buy is when the media is trying to feed some bullshit that's not possible to happen.
Right. Well, I know you guys are looking at some of the other markets too, like Richard Burr. He was actually our luck box of the week in our last episode. We called him a luck box because basically he'd be a front page story if it wasn't for the virus.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
He got some cover from a pandemic. But what's your thoughts on that trade? The question is, Burr's still a senator on May 1st. He's trading as a 87-cent yes after his insider trading allegations.
Yeah.
Take the yes because he's not going to resign. Look, people in Virginia weren't resigning over way worse stuff last year. There's other representatives and senators who are possibly implicated as dumping stock right before the crash.
Kelly Loeffler, some other people.
So I would say that unless there's going to, he's not going to like jump on the sword for no reason when he doesn't have to.
Yeah, I think he might get his comeuppance come election season, but he's not going to be removed by May 1st.
Yeah, those are probably good calls, both the 92-cent yes on Fauci and the 87-cent yes on Burr. Well, they're probably good trades. One last trade before we move on to the tactics section. I know one of you is looking at the European market, the next European leader out.
Yes.
Merkel's in front of that right now, predicted at 56 cents. Who's got the call on that?
That was my one I wanted to talk about. I like Giuseppe Conte from Italy. He's at what, like 22 cents right now or something like that? 25 cents. He's in the low 20s.
He's at 25 cents, yeah.
Yeah, I like him. Who else did I have there? Boris Johnson at 10 cents. I like either of those over Merkel. I think that Giuseppe Conte was like, he had 2 feet out the door. That was at a 99 cents a couple months ago before they did the coup. Like the Italian people did like a coup and he backdoored his way in with a new, brand new political party. He was at 99 cents to be the next person eliminated. And people made probably five figures on that deal on Predicted.
Yeah, that was similar to the Biden Super Tuesday switch.
Yeah, like, even more though. It was 99 cents.
Yeah, even more.
He announced
bigger,
that he was leaving. So it was 99 cents. There's just a lot of swings in Italy. Italy's having a problem with COVID-19. He already was 2 feet out the door. I think that Conte is a good pick there.
Yeah, you throw in 105,000 infections and over 12,000 deaths. Yeah. That's probably not a good thing for anybody in charge. Johnson, that's a little bit more interesting. He's a COVID patient right now.
That's kind of why, at 10 cents, not to be too morbid, but I mean, he's in your death pool. Yeah, exactly.
you're saying take the flyer.
Well, I mean,
that's worse than the odds though of the mortality rate pandemic. But if
you throw in the mortality rate, then it's really like 7 cents a share, I don't know.
Well, he's a 55-year-old libertarian. That might mean he's like a Christian Science monitor. They don't, maybe he doesn't take medication
either. His immune system is probably so jacked up. He's never taken an antibiotic in his life.
That's probably right. All right. Well, at this point, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with the tactics section. During this section, we always ask our expert traders for one specific tactic that they use to achieve some of their returns. We're going to take a different twist with you guys, but we're going to be right back after a short break. Okay, guys, we're back. We're back with Hard Factor Mark, Hard Factor Will, and Hard Factor Wes. In fact, those are their Twitter handles if you want to follow them, and you should. They're the part of the team from Hard Factor, the daily cocaine of news available from Barstool Sports. That is your tagline, right? It's a news cocaine?
News cocaine, yeah.
Mm-hmm. News cocaine. So you guys are active traders. How often do you trade?
I mean, I check the dashboard daily. I don't know if I'm making trades daily. I'm always looking for something, but like we talked about a little earlier in the pod, I view it a little bit more like gambling. This is Will. So I'm not necessarily placing a bet on every single market every day trying to, I don't do a lot of like the buying the heavy favorites to convert it for the small percentages. So I'm looking for things in the 70s or lower that I think could pay out usually.
Which one of you is most active?
Probably historically me. I had very close to five figures in recently and was trading many, many times a day. But like sports gambling and this, it's like cyclical where I withdrew a lot of money and then now I have less money to play with and I'm kind of trying to calm down. It's kind of like I get the itch and then I focus on it. And then right now I'm just like, I have a little bit under 1,000 in the account and I'm just kind of sprinkling it around. And I look every day, but I don't trade every day.
And you guys give it at least 5 minutes in every one of your shows every day. So with all the trading that you've done now, you've got some tips of what not to do. So tell me about some of your bigger mistakes that we can learn from.
I'll go first. I'm a bad panicker when it comes to my bets. I get in, I get out. I don't hold true to my bets, even though if I believe them, if I see the market crashing, I will fucking run like a scared dog. And then you know, try to get back in. So that's been my biggest, and I've gotten better at it for sure. But definitely in the beginning, that was my biggest no-no is I didn't just, you know, believe in the bet and hold it through. Especially like during some of those you know, markets they have during the debates. That is where I would run a lot. You know, speaking time, all those kind of like fun markets. I just, you know, and half the time if I would have saw them through, I would have won. But you know, once you see your baby going down, you jump out.
Will, you got anything?
Yeah, I got a good one. I think that's probably relevant for many people who bet on the markets regularly. Is that don't, you know, forget about the exterior factors to a bet. Like I was riding Bernie pretty heavily. Right before Super Tuesday.
That's a great
visual. Obviously that was horrible what happened there. And so I just think that, like, you know, I should have been smarter to see that what had happened before was likely to happen again. And that also, you know, thought about what happens if all of these candidates all of a sudden pivot to one. And also all of the local Dems give all the endorsement to the same candidate. So I did not think about that, and I was too bullish on Bernie because I wasn't keeping my mind open to how that historically works out on that side of the aisle. So, you know, that was my fault for not seeing clearly about how that would probably shake out in the end.
Well, I rode that same pony with you in Texas, Bernie. That was a rough one. Bernie in Texas was really, really hard.
We lost our shirts like on that live stream on Bernie in Texas. A lot of the Hard Factor boys. I agree with you, Will, that I like to fade recency bias in the tweet markets to make money. But some mistakes that I've made are, you know, like this goes for all gambling, and it's easier said than done, but try not to use emotion like when you're gambling, like the term go on tilt. Like don't go on tilt. Don't try to recuperate losses like all at once, like basic things. And gambling is fun. It's entertaining, but try not to bet emotionally is something that I need to, you know, I think everyone should work on, but that's an easy way to lose money.
I think in that Bernie example, that's a good example, because I had Biden. I had him at like 10 cents as the nominee from way back in the summer when Warren was in the lead. And then I started watching the debates, and that was really what got me in trouble in the Dem nominee market, was that I thought to myself, well, no way they're going to go with this guy struggling so mightily in his public appearances and debates. But then it didn't end up mattering. And right. So that is an example of me with my brain messing with my wallet.
Exactly. Because, like, emotion, like,
I outthought myself.
Brain and heart. Like, a lot of people unpredicted bet with kind of what they want to happen. And I'm not saying you did that with Bernie, but a lot of people.
But in a sense, for sure. Yeah. Cause I was thinking to myself, like, well, how can anybody watch this and think that this is the guy, the candidate.
I wasn't
thinking about it from, you know, somebody who wants the party is more interested in the party advancement than, you know, so anyhow. Yeah.
And also absolutely do not panty mind to the comment section, because they will try to trick you down there.
Yeah. So what tools do you guys use frequently to help in your trading? There's some outside sources that a lot of traders rely on to make their predicted trades.
I mean, the polls that they use, you know, that predicted points you to, like Real Clear Politics, even though a lot of especially the new primary polls, you know, haven't even reflected that Bloomberg's out or any, you know, new polling data. But those are, you know, probably the go-to when it comes to the primary markets, even though they haven't been the most accurate in some places.
PieCount.com.
Yeah, PieCount.com for the tweet markets.
Oh, PI count. Yeah.
PICount.com.
Yeah, that's a free source. It gives you, you pull it. It's not a push source, but you can see the real Donald Trump, the White House, and POTUS tweet count for any given predicted market in real time, right?
Yeah, a lot of people, there's a button you can click on each of those markets too that tells you the stats for the last like several cycles, and people use, and then it also shows the pace for the current cycle, and a lot of people are pace pumpers, so they'll see the pace and not take into account that a weekend's coming up or a big event's coming up where they're going to tweet more. So you can make money on the tweet markets by again, betting against recency bias, betting against the pace pumpers. If you do the research and see what events are coming up, what days are coming up, is this person going to be on holiday, shit like that.
Those pace numbers might as well be like a pair of tits to me when I look on the site. That's all I see.
That's not good, Wes.
The only tool I use, I look at it like a sheet, you know, like you're looking at a weekend of games, you know, back to the gambling analogies. And so I just use the expiring filter, basically just look and see what action closes the soonest.
Yes.
That's an interesting idea. So if you go to the markets, they have a drop down that allows you to sort the markets from things like trade volume, price changes, new arrivals, and you go to expiring to see what's coming down to the wire for.
I look at expiring and then see if there's anything. I just go down the list and say if there's anything that's like 70 or, you know, it starts with a 7, maybe an 8. But certainly a 7 and below, and you think that it could possibly pay out, then it's great because you can watch it, you know, relatively quickly compared to the other markets.
So gratifying.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know about you guys, but I'm definitely, it's hard for me to lock into a bet that's not going to pay off, you know, until weeks down the road. I like the expiring markets much more, for sure.
Yeah, well, that goes back to how much money you have in your account. You know, if you've got five figures in the account, Take the long term.
Right. We're not sharks. That's for sure.
This is more of the gambling versus the trading.
Yep.
The expiring.
Absolutely. Yes.
You got it. Well, we're going to come back with your trades after a quick break. We have Hard Factor Mark, Hard Factor Wes, and Hard Factor Will on from the Hard Factor Show and Barstool Sports. They're going to each share their favorite trade right now in the prediction markets. We're going to be right back. But first,
want a little more luck in your life? Get Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability, named the best new magazine of 2019. Luckbox is a must-read for side hustlers, gamblers, entrepreneurs, and active investors. Each issue features best bets from prediction market experts, as well as timely sports wagering, stocks, options, futures, and cryptocurrency trading ideas. You can buy Luckbox on newsstands, but with this special offer, listeners of The Political Trade can receive a 10-issue digital subscription absolutely free. Just visit getluckbox.com to receive the award-winning magazine right in your inbox. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox for free today. Learn more at getluckbox.com.
And we're back with the guys from Hard Factor. In addition to their own Twitter handles, you can follow Hard Factor News at Hard Factor News and Twitter. As you know, guys, in each episode, we ask our guests for actionable trading advice in the specific markets, or we'll call this gambling advice. And each of you came up with your own gamble to share with us. So let's start with Will. Will, I think you're taking us to our favorite market on the show. It's one we end up talking about every episode, and that's the 2020 Democratic VP market. So tell us what you like there.
I've been saying this one for a while. People think I have a tinfoil hat on. I don't care. I got a long shot on Michelle Obama. I think that Biden wants that Biden Obama poster, to be the thing. Anyways,
it's one way to get the endorsement, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I don't even know if that would get Barack's endorsement at this point. So I'm not sure how that's going to play out. I know that's a different market. That one's more volatile. But really, the reason I like the VP market is because anybody is a huge winner right now. I also have some money on Liz Warren because I feel like that would be really good for Biden if he could draw the progressives in with her. You know, so I think that between those two, they're like a total of 10 cents, you know, so I like those two, but I'm willing to listen to any reason why the other people are going to be picked. So,
well, you're right. Michelle's at 2 cents today, down a penny on the day from 3 cents, and Elizabeth Warren's at 6 cents, and she's down a little bit too. I like it too, and the Mooch likes her too.
Eight total. Yeah. 8 total cents there.
So yeah. For 8 cents, you get Warren and Obama. That's not a bad buy, right?
Right. Yeah.
What do you guys What do you guys think? Is he wearing a tinfoil hat or?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Who's it gonna be then? Who's it gonna be?
Who the fuck is Gretchen Whitmer?
Klobuchar.
She's the governor of Michigan.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would say I would go Klobuchar if I were to pick one.
Pat and I picked Klobuchar when she was at like 6 cents 3 months ago, like when she was still in the thick of the debates.
And but Klobuchar
Pat still
is
has like 3,000 shares in Klobuchar and has profited quite a bit. So I'm sticking with Klobuchar.
All right. Well, let's be clear. I want to get a rundown from each of you then on the VP market. Mark, what's your pick?
Klobuchar.
All right, Wes.
Yeah, I'd have to go Klobuchar as well.
And Will?
Warren/Obama. Can I pick as many names as Klobuchar has? The value
you
add
get up?
Up
to 27 cents or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. The value pick, but yeah,
it's not a bad, but interesting.
I'm taking the
no
field,
one among
the
you.
Field.
What about Harris though? Yeah, no on
no,
Harris.
No. I would probably go no on Harris.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know she's the front runner, but I still think that Biden's not picking her going back from that debate.
So it's hard to say right now because everyone's been so quiet. I know Klobuchar's husband has coronavirus.
Not only that with Harris, but she doesn't, Harris didn't, I don't think that she's got the type of support that Biden wants for.
Well, the Democrats are going to win California anyways. And I don't even know how well she's liked in California.
Well, she wasn't going to win it.
I wouldn't pick someone from California. That's ridiculous.
There's not much upside to that pick.
No.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the VP market. That's certainly the market with the most going on right now because there's the most uncertainty. And you're right, it's been really, really quiet for all these candidates. We'll see what happens when they come out of it. But we're going to move on to the next market. We'll move on to Wes. Wes, you talked about, or you want to talk about the highest ranking in terms of trading volume on Predictit. That's the Democratic nominee market.
I mean, I don't see how Biden and Will will probably share the same sentiment with me. I don't see how they're not going to pick Biden at this point. It's still he's got over 300 more delegates. Some of the biggest states coming up, he's ahead in like Pennsylvania, Georgia, Ohio. But the polls are weird because Bloomberg dropped out. The most recent polls you can look at still reflect Bloomberg. He endorsed Biden. So I think in some of those states where that maybe Bernie's still ahead, that's going to be completely different when some new polls come out. So.
There is a lot of value there, right? Biden's trading at 79 cents. So there's some good upside.
Right.
And next behind him is Cuomo at 8 cents, who's up a penny in the day.
Yeah, and that could be a nice bump. I don't know how high he's going to get. Maybe he can get up to like 12, 15 cents, something like that. If the hype around him comes out, if he takes his shirt off and shows us those nipple rings. But I think that, you could do a nice little like pump and dump on him, but I think it's going to be Biden.
Wes, you're right. I do agree with you. And Jeff, I'd like to ask you, is there any counter argument to where Biden doesn't end up being the nominee at this point? I mean, it just seems like it's a given and it doesn't make any sense. He's at 79 cents.
I think it's a great question, and I think the only reason Bernie Sanders is sticking around, who's still at 6 cents, but obviously he's been quiet, is because of the virus. I think he's making an opportunistic play that if things get really, and this is a pretty negative assessment of his interests, but I think his political calculation is if our death toll is something that is unpalatable
really high,
for everybody,
right.
And hits six figures. Here's a new platform to talk about healthcare in America again.
Right.
Good point.
And
I can't think of any other reason
for him to be around, right?
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, well, there's the counter argument. I finally get it.
Biden at 79 cents is Wes's buy recommendation, right?
There
we got to move on to Mark.
Yep.
Okay, Mark, you're taking us to your home state, Lone Star State, for a longer-term market. It's the... Which party will win Texas in the presidential election?
Yeah, Republican. Republican will win Texas. I think it was at, 72 cents, something like that, 70 cents. Yes, yeah. For Republican. So that's, you know, make your 28 cents there.
70 cents for Texas to go red. Oh, man.
Biden versus Trump in Texas is Republican.
It's 73 cents right now. You're right. There's a lot of upside there. So why was O'Rourke such a candidate? What, you know, everyone thought Texas had a chance to go purple, if not blue, when during O'Rourke's upswing. What happened there in Texas?
Well, I think outside of Austin and some areas
in El Paso
and some areas in Dallas, it's just generationally red. Like, it's just, that's the way people are brought up and raised. It's not something that changes overnight. And if Beto O'Rourke can't beat Ted Cruz and Bernie Sanders can't beat Joe Biden, then the left doesn't stand a chance in the general election. If Biden's the candidate,
Trump is winning Texas. That's a great bet. That's a great pick.
It's a lock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's hear it. Then Mark, you've got, which party will win Texas in the 2020 presidential election?
The Republicans will win Texas in the 2020 election.
Okay. All right. Well, that wraps up our trade section. And I want to remind listeners, if you are not already signed up on Predictit, you're in luck. You can take advantage of the tactics and trades shared by our guests by going to predictit.org/promo/TPT20. Sign up, deposit $20, and we'll match that first $20 you deposited. That's predictit.org/promo/TPT20. Deposit 20 and you'll have 40 to trade with. It's that simple. Don't just listen to the political trade. Sign up and trade along. We're going to be right back for our luck box of the week with Hard Factor guys. We'll be right back in a moment. We are back with the luck box of the week. As you know, a luck box is an undeserving recipient of a favorable outlier outcome. So gamblers know the term, bettors know the term. A luck box is somebody who just got fucking lucky, right? So our luck box recipient this week is kind of outside of our normal political boundaries. It's a tribute to the Hard Factor guys. Joseph Maldonado Passage, better known as Joe Exotic. I figured that would work with you guys. Now, you
awesome.
Know, the former owner of a roadside zoo in Oklahoma, now in federal prison for, among other things, trying to hire a hitman to kill an animal rights activist. Now famous as a result of the Netflix hit docuseries Tiger King. Just a couple days ago, he filed a $96 million lawsuit against the Department of Interior, claiming false and perjured testimony and that he was a victim of discrimination as an openly gay male with the largest collection of generic tigers and crossbreeds. That's an end unquote. We're calling him a luck box because sure, he's in a federal prison, a 22-year-old prison sentence, which began in January of 2020. But his roadside zoo recently has been hit with huge crowds till closing last week to comply with the coronavirus shutdown orders from the Oklahoma governor. And he went, as you know, if you watch a series from daily live streams of maybe 40 people watching, to Tiger King, which has been Netflix's most popular title for 10 days in a row now, and is a Rotten Tomatoes most popular TV series right now with a 98% critic rating. TMZ reports recently said that he has getting a ton of mail. He's loving his new popularity. He's ecstatic over the success of the Netflix series. And he just got upgraded to a new prison, but of course, right before he got put in quarantine. So all in all, if you're serving 20 years in a federal prison for murder for hire, you know, luck is a relative thing. And Joe, you are our luck box of the week. What do you think, guys?
Great choice. Like
getting upgraded to a new fake leg.
I know that you said this isn't one of our typical luck boxes of the week, but there is a political angle here. He did run for governor of Oklahoma, so he is technically a politician as well.
That's true. I think he got third with 20% of the vote.
Third. You know, I do have one point here. I think that Jeff Lowe, the man who essentially put Joe Exotic behind bars, could... You know, he could potentially be more of a luck box, considering that he got rid of Joe Exotic and he took over and he took over the zoo, and he's not in jail.
Yeah,
and And he's got, like, have you seen the recent pictures? He's got, like, a nanny with him. It looks like they're having some fun.
And a hot nanny. That's a luck box.
All right. That's why you're on. You're right. We'll hand it over to him. You're exactly right.
I agree with you, Will. I loved the show, as most people do, but I don't really identify or like really anyone in that show. I'm a big cat person. I own 5 cats, fostered, adopted, love domestic cats, which they're not really domestic. But I think all those people are pretty shitty to big cats. So I don't really like any of them.
It is interesting. They all seem to not really care about the cats.
They kill them all. Once they're unprofitable, they murder the cats.
Yeah. Once they're too big to pet, they go in the ground.
Have you guys seen the video of Shaq visiting the zoo?
Yes.
Yes.
He's pissed. Yeah. He's not happy that he was in the documentary.
I would think so. Right?
Yeah. Well, wasn't he buying tigers?
No, he was. Yeah, he was petting him.
He bought some tigers.
He bought some tigers.
He also, like every single, you know, they had Doc Antel in there with all the House of Reps and the Senate. So I mean, it's, you know, everybody's got a little bit of fur on their hands in this one. So.
For sure, I do agree. I do agree with him as the luck box picks, though, because I think that due to the Jeff Lowe thing and some other things, I think that the evidence wasn't. He got guilty of 19 out of 19. The murder for hire was the big one. A lot of them were like trafficking.
It'll be revisited. Yeah,
it'll be revisited. Yeah. And I think that when he does get out of jail, he'll never have to worry about money ever again. He'll have the best selling books, documentaries. He'll be all over the talk shows.
Oh, well, everybody's going to want him to reopen the
zoo. Everyone wants
the,
a piece
the zoo.
Of him. Yeah, everyone will want
everybody's
going to
want the
out.
Zoo back yeah. open. Yeah.
Oh, maybe yeah. I expect he's going to end up on your show as well. I think that
would help.
We hope so.
Anyone that spends that much time, like in a cage with tigers and lions and is still alive is a fucking luck box in my opinion. I mean, you know,
it's a great point.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, it's only a matter of time. So, you know, in the show, you see him, he has to pull out his gun a couple times and just fire it to save his own life. It looks like
one of my favorite scenes is when no one helped him when he thought that they put cologne
on
his
shoe. They were trying to kill him. They were trying to kill him. They were mad.
The tigers are dragging him around. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, it's been an amazing show. Hey, listen, guys, it's been great to have you guys on. We're going to be taking a 1 week break as we focus on the next issue of Luckbox magazine, which you guys are going to be in. So again, listeners can go to getluckbox.com and get out in front of receiving the next issue that will feature the Hard Factor team. We also have some interesting future episodes coming up. Our next episode is going to feature CEO of Aristotle, who's the group that runs the predicted market. So our next guest is going to be John Phillips, who runs the predicted platform. So he's going to be joining us to answer questions about the trading platform and talk more about it. You can send in your questions for John to our podcast page, which is luckboxmagazine.com/TPT, or you can DM us on Twitter at Political Trader. Guys, this has been a lot of fun. I wanted to have you guys on for a long, long time. I do listen to your show at least 3 times a week. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, guys. Thank
you. Any time. It was fun. Appreciate it.
Jeff and Mike, thank you.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for setting it up.
Yeah, well, we will look to have you back before the general elections if we can make that happen. And everybody else, thanks for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And also subscribe to Hard Factor wherever you listen to podcasts as well. And if you subscribe to our show, you can be the first to catch any trends, tactics, or trades shared by our guests. And this is Jeff Joseph.
And I'm Mike Reddy.
And remember to lock down, turn up, wash your hands, don't touch your face, stay healthy, and join us next week on The Political Trade.
And have a great fucking day.